This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
The NFL draft is just 3 days away. The possibilities of what may happen Thursday night keep getting more and more fascinating. It all starts with that third overall pick in San Francisco. And in a moment, we'll hear directly from the 49ers who are making that third pick. Plus, the reason that a team picking in the top 10 should be in the quarterback market, even if no one is talking about a quarterback. All right. You see him right there. Dan just slid into the picture. Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky. And guys, it is finally draft week. We're so happy for that. 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan and GM John Lynch spoke moments ago about their plans at three. That's where we begin today with John Lynch.
I told Kyle from the beginning that this is, he and I are doing this together. And when it comes to quarterbacks, I'd be foolish, I believe. We have a head coach who's also our offensive play caller. I will always defer to him.
We could have sat there at 12 and waited to see which one came to us. And I think whichever one did, if one did, but we made a decision this process that we felt we needed to get a starting quarterback this year and add that to our team. And when we sit there at 12 way back in the day, and we wanted to dictate it. And we also were worried maybe the one we end up wanting doesn't fall to 12. And why don't we move up there to a spot where we can take the best look at everyone? We know we'll get one. And we'll get the one that, after putting in a lot of work and do everything, we feel we're going to get the one that's best for us.
All right, in case you missed what John Lynch said off the start there, Kyle Shanahan is making this pick. Adam Schefter with us. What more can you add, Adam, with what the 49ers may do at three?
Well, Laura, it was a very interesting press conference that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan conducted moments ago. And Kyle Shanahan admitted that when the 49ers traded up initially weeks ago, there was one guy they had in mind, and I believe that guy was Mac Jones. Now, when they traded up to that spot with the idea that they would be comfortable taking Mac Jones, they also recognized the fact that there was going to be a month plus to go through this process and for this team to do a deep dive into Trey Lance and Justin Fields and the other quarterbacks that were worthy of that selection. And that's exactly what the 49ers have done the last month. They've taken a long look in person at Trey Lance. They've taken a long look at person in Justin Fields. And I believe the gap between Mac Jones and the other quarterbacks has closed to the point where the 49ers today truly are uncertain about who they're going to take. And I know people find that hard to believe. Oh, you can't trade up. You can't trade three first-round picks to move up without knowing who you were going to take. No, they didn't know. They thought they were comfortable taking Mac Jones, and they wanted to assure themselves of the fact that they would lock into a quarterback that they liked while giving themselves more time to explore the other quarterbacks, which is exactly what's happened. They've explored the other quarterbacks, and guess what? They like what they've seen, and they are very comfortable at number three, and we're going to find out who the pick is Thursday night, but I don't believe right now they have made a firm decision about which quarterback they're going to take.
I'm not sure if I've ever been more excited about a pick in a draft until this one. The third overall pick on Thursday night is absolutely fascinating. Todd McShay, our senior draft analyst, joining us here as well. And Mina, if you're San Francisco, let's put you in this role. Who do you take? Is it Mac Jones or Trey Lance?
Sure. Laura, I would take Lance out of those two. I think with Mac, the question is not, can he execute this offense? I've watched him. He throws with anticipation and accuracy. He can absolutely execute the offense. But for me, it's what happens when that offense, that beautiful machine that Kyle Shanahan creates, what happens when someone throws grit in the gears and he's forced to flee a muddied pocket? It's the NFL. That's going to happen. What happens when a defense changes or disguises his intentions and he has to sort of display that second reaction ability post-snap? Can he do what Jimmy Garoppolo could not consistently do in San Francisco, which is problem solve on his own? I'm not sure. I don't think he's shown that he can. And candidly, I'm a little bit nervous saying that, because if they do take Mac Jones, he's probably going to look good in that offense, especially against, you know, mediocre to bad defenses. He'll look good, but Trey Lance, in my mind, cannot just be good. He can be great. There might be some more bumps along the way, but I think he gives you an element that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't. And for me, to make this kind of trade, you need a quarterback who can do that.
Yeah, hearing Schefter's report, my thoughts go to the three most important words for the San Francisco 49ers up till Thursday night are why and why not. You heard Shefty say that they went up and made that trade with Mac Jones in mind. Why? Why is it Mac Jones? And then why now is it not Trey Lance? Why not Trey Lance? And that's kind of where this journey that they're on is going to lead them. And then flip it. Like, why is it going to be Trey Lance and why not Mac Jones? And I think that's what they're trying to figure out. And that's the question that these two, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, have to answer. Why Mac Jones and why not Trey Lance? And I would say Mac Jones because his brain is so fast that he makes up for all these athletic deficiencies that everyone continues to talk about. And why not Trey Lance? Because you don't know. He has not played in a game where he's had to be the guy. You just haven't seen that out of him. Why Trey Lance? Because you think you can develop him like Buffalo developed Josh Allen. Why not Mac Jones? Because you're scared of his lack of athleticism. Again, but two things that stood out to me when I heard Kyle Shanahan just talk 2 minutes ago. He said we wanted to go get a starting quarterback. Now, I would say right now Trey Lance is not a starting quarterback because he needs to develop a lot. He's not played enough. That stood out to me. If you're looking for a starting quarterback, it's Mac Jones. And then the second thing was, we're going to take the guy that we think best fits us. Again, if Kyle Shanahan is looking for the guy that fits him the best, it's Mac Jones.
Adam.
Well, this is a situation, look, I think that they view both these quarterbacks, when you're talking about those guys, Dan, in Mac Jones and Trey Lance, capable of stepping in this year. And it was interesting because they asked Kyle Shanahan today if he could guarantee that Jimmy Garoppolo would be on the roster Sunday, and he said, I can't guarantee that anybody's going to be alive on Sunday. So there was no assurance there at that point in time because I think anything is possible going into this weekend. And I think the 49ers have gone through a lot of iterations during this process. They have initially been very comfortable with Mac Jones, grown more comfortable with guys like Trey Lance and Justin Fields, and now ultimately we'll see where they wind up. But I also think it's interesting in the sense that I think these guys are different than the way they're being portrayed. I think the 49ers look at Trey Lance as the smartest quarterback in this draft.
Sure.
And I think they look at Mac Jones as a guy who is as athletic in the pocket as anybody in this draft. And you wouldn't think of Mac Jones being athletic in the pocket, and you might not think of Trey Lance being the smartest quarterback in this draft, but I can tell you, I think that's the way that they view this right now, and that enters into their thinking on Thursday night.
Yeah, and Adam, I mean, they've done so much due diligence. If anyone's going to know that, it's going to be the 49ers and maybe a lot of us that have watched these guys as well. Let's get Marcus in here. Marcus, your thoughts. Who would you take?
Well, based on listening to this conversation, they drafting everybody. Listen, this is one of the situations where it's still perplexing to me that we having a conversation about Mac Jones and Trey Lance and Justin Fields is not in it. Like, I can't wrap my mind around that. But let's get to the point. Mac Jones, right? What are you upgrading? I can't wait till we get to Cleveland and Dan tell me, what are we upgrading with Mac Jones over Jimmy Garoppolo? I see what we upgrading with Trey Lance from a physical standpoint, from having the ability to do the extracurricular, because that seems to be the common denominator that we're talking about. And then when we get to talking about processing, being able to throw the football downfield, what would take Kyle Shanahan over the top? Well, there's a guy that played at Ohio State that did that. And we've seen them do that. So, look, I understand the conversation. Shefty is the best in the game at gathering information and putting things in perspective. But I just will not. I'm telling y'all right now, and Todd right there, I'm not going to have a conversation about the San Francisco 49ers and not include Justin Fields' name in it. It would be crazy because we just heard Kyle Shanahan talk about we wanted to be in a spot to have an opportunity at all of these guys. So you in that spot. I know we're talking about Mac Jones and Trey Lance. I ain't having a conversation without Justin Fields being in it.
Yeah, if Justin Fields isn't in this conversation, which it seems like maybe he's not based on all the reporting and everything we're hearing, then there's a whole other conversation of where's Justin Fields going to go. But we'll table that for now. Todd McShay, if the 49ers go Trey Lance, you've told us this could happen. Where does Mac Jones go?
Well, let's start with eight, first of all. And I'm starting to hear more and more about Carolina still having interest in drafting a quarterback. And it would be your guy, Marcus, Justin Fields. And, you know, you wonder why would they, after Sam Darnold making the trade for him and making him the starter, but it's only $5 million a year in terms of the cap hit and only a two-year contract. So it would make sense to bring in a quarterback to develop behind him. So if it is Fields at eight, then you've got Denver sitting at nine which is intriguing. Are they going to go quarterback? Are they going to trade back? Or are they going to take a corner? We'll see what they do. But I think the most likely spot for Mac Jones, to answer your question, is 15 to New England, or New England trading up to go get him. You just look at the Nick Saban, you know, Bill Belichick connection that they have, looking for a guy who could be like a Tom Brady. There's no Tom Brady, I understand, but just the fast processing and understanding the offense, being able to make quick decisions, protecting the football, that would be a really good connection, in my opinion.
Yeah, Belichick, by the way, has been there in Tuscaloosa when Mac Jones has been throwing. Sorry, Dan, we've got to go.
You went glasses shopping last week, Marcus?
Yeah, the glasses look fire. Dan is in Cleveland going to tell you why Jimmy G and Mac Jones
shopping
are not the same quarterback. And Dan's going to try on Marcus's glasses. We will see you in Cleveland later on in the week.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yes, we believe. All right. Hey, play ESPN's draft challenge. Make your picks for a chance to win $110,000. My goodness. Play for free at ESPN.com/fantasy and click on the fantasy draft challenge tab. Don't miss that. Win yourself some cash. All right. We are so excited to have Peter Schrager from NFL Network back with us today. Schrags, we're going to put you to work today. And of course, remember, you can catch all the coverage on NFL Network for the draft starting on Thursday. Let's get to some draft guides here. Get everybody involved. We're talking biggest need, quiet need, and not a need for each of these teams. Dan, we're going to start with you. What are you going with?
I'm going with the Chicago Bears. I think their biggest need is going to be hope. Everyone continues to say that they need a quarterback. Sure, that sounds great, but you better hope that one of them jokers fall to you or fall somewhere near, you can go up and get him. I don't think you can consider, okay, we're going to just wait till the second round and develop a guy. You should hope that a Mac Jones or a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance falls and you can go get a quarterback. Quiet need is offensive line. They need to continue to rebuild this offensive line because everyone talks about their run game or the lack of development with their quarterbacks. Well, it's tough to do without people blocking for that run game or protecting that quarterback. And that's why tailback is not a need for this football team. David Montgomery is a good player. If you give him some space and some big bodies in front to give him some opportunities to create positive yards in your run game, Matt Nagy can rely on that a little bit. Biggest need, hope. Quiet need, O-line. Not a need, tailback.
All right, now to the very opposite end of the spectrum. We go to Buffalo, one of the deepest rosters in the NFL. That said, they still do have needs, and the biggest one for me is edge rusher. Look, Derek Hughes has one of the most underrated careers in the NFL. But he's turning 34. Mari Addison's turning 33. They could use another pass rusher. Meanwhile, at cornerback, of course, you got Trey White. Opposite him, Levi Wallace is on a one-year deal. To me, that's another area that Buffalo could look to bolster perhaps later in the draft, looking towards the future. Finally, what they don't need, well, they don't really need a lot, but they really don't need safeties because the Buffalo Bills have arguably the best safety duo in the NFL in Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Do not need to draft a safety. You could also add wide receiver, offensive line, quarterback, yada, yada. The Bills have a really good.
Listen, I'm going Cowboys, and I know cliche Marcus on the Cowboys, but the bottom line is the need is cornerback. And we're talking about Surtain. Obviously, that's been the name. But be careful. Watch out for Farley making the late push. A quiet need, offensive tackle. Tyron Smith in his 10th year dealt with a lot of injuries. You may want to solidify or find a guy that you can use as a swing tackle in the situation that they were in last year with injuries. And not a need, damn tight end, okay? I don't want to hear it from anybody. All of these offensive weapons that the Dallas Cowboys have, nobody needs to add any more offensive weapons until later in this draft. Get the needs.
Boom!
Hey there, I'm going to go with Washington. First of all, Orlovsky, biggest need is hope. Can't mock draft the word hope, all right? Let's go with the Washington football team. And we're going with quarterback. This is what you could have said, Dan. Go and get your quarterback. If you're Chicago, go and get one. Trade up if you have to. That is what I think Washington might want to do. Quiet need, offensive line. And I look at this guy right here, locally in Blacksburg, Virginia. Christian Darrisaw could be sitting there at 19. It could be a nice addition to Washington. And what they don't need, Mina said, Buffalo has the best safety duo. I think Washington might have the best pass rushing duo with Montez Sweat and Chase Young. There might be some really nice value at defensive end here. Don't take them, Washington. You don't need it. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's really interesting because if you look at these teams, I think when you're talking about what they actually need and don't need, a lot of it has to do with the division that they're in and how they can compete. So Washington's in a division where they really can compete, could win the division. Is their biggest need, do you agree, is it quarterback, Dan?
No. Welcome. We're going to baptize you a little here, Schrager. Welcome. We're going to bring you because we chop it up on NFL. No. They need to go get offensive line help. If you look at their general manager, Martin Mayhew, I was with Martin in Detroit. He went from Detroit, and he's been in San Francisco for the last 4 years. If you look at his track record when it comes to first-round drafting, it is big after big after big after big. I think he's used three of his first-round selections on non-offensive or defensive linemen. One was Matthew Stafford, I think Javid Best, and then Eric Ebron, okay? If you look at his past 4 years in San Francisco, it's Mike McGlinchey, it's Nick Bosa. They are going to take an offensive lineman. Ryan Fitzpatrick going to be plenty good enough. They don't need wide receiver. They don't need tailback. Look at this. Look at these offensive linemen. Lakin Thomason, Sue, Ezekiel Ansah, Gosner Trillis, Nick Farley, Riley Reiff. Again, that's not even adding in those San Francisco 49ers. Martin Mayhew believes in building football teams the inside out way at the line of scrimmage. It's kind of been a mantra of mine this offseason. They do not need to be overly aggressive to go get the fifth ranked quarterback in this draft, okay? Not all five of these guys are gonna be great. So they build their offensive line, let Fitzy play. Their skill players are better than people think. They got Humphreys, they got Harmon coming back healthy, both Sims guys, they got McLaurin, they just signed Curtis Samuel. If you tell me a pass catching threat, I'll give you tight end. I'll give you tight end at some point, but get your offensive lineman.
Dan, I agree with you. And I think even if Martin Mayhew didn't have the history of building inside out, any human being could look at that roster and say the biggest hole is left tackle. Like, you don't have to be a GM or a wannabe GM to see that. It's been an issue for them ever since Trent Williams walked out the door. And it's going to be an issue when they do go get their quarterback next year. I mean, this team's made it pretty clear that they're not interested in reaching for a QB. They didn't even go to Trey Lance's pro day or second pro day, if I'm correct. I think they would have done their due diligence if they were exploring the idea of a trade up. And you know what? That's fine because they're still going to win a lot of games with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. They can get this roster in really good shape. It's already in great shape to get their quarterback next year instead of getting in the race this year. My only issue with offensive tackle is the way I see it. You know, you got Penei Sewell and Sean Slater and then a fairly sizable drop off. And unfortunately, there's a lot of teams that need left tackles. It's not just Washington or Indy after them. It's the Vikings. It's the Chargers. So they may have to consider the possibility of jumping up a few spots if there's a left tackle in particular that they want.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to agree with Shrek here.
Huh?
What? Like, what?
Huh? What? Yeah, let's go, Marcus.
I'm with my crew. I'm going to have to agree with him.
Traitor.
Listen, y'all, I understand
Come
the need
on.
For the Talk offensive line.
Traitor.
But if you got an offensive line and don't have a quarterback, you still doo-doo. Like, if they have a chance to get a guy or trade
doo-doo.
Up to solidify their quarterback spot.
Doo-doo.
Now,
doo-doo.
The question is that guy in this draft? That's
doo-doo.
The legit question.
Yes.
If he is, if Washington football teams feel like he is, they should try to move to get the quarterback. I would tell you this. I'm going to get Joe Burrow, and then I'm going to build an offensive line. And I know what the report is going to be. Joe Burrow got injured because you don't have an offensive line. But you know what Cincinnati got now? A quarterback. Now they can start building around that. I would go QB if they identify one and can move up to get him.
My favorite thing about
that. I had to agree with Shrag against my squad.
The best part about that whole segment was that Shrag's, I can see you, and he's like waving.
In.
He's like, can I get back in? Sorry, we are going back to you soon, though, Shrag's. You're coming back with us a little later on. We got to move right here, though. Don't you worry. You got the big swagoo on your side, so that's good.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Ooh, look at these guys. Hey, check out Todd McShay's Draft Buzz article on ESPN.com. Some juicy details in there about what he's hearing about what teams will do. You saw some of the big-time prospects just on your screen. Todd, let's run through some buzz just 3 days ahead of the draft, starting with the Atlanta Falcons and that fourth overall pick.
Yeah, I spent the whole weekend talking to general managers and head coaches and scouts, and everyone thinks they know what everyone else is going to do. We'll find out. But Atlanta is one of the most intriguing teams, picking at number 4. We know Trevor Lawrence is going 1 to Jacksonville. Zach Wilson's going number 2 to the Jets. And then at number 3, there's going to be a quarterback. Everyone thought it was going to be quarterback, but now I'm hearing for Atlanta, it's going to be Kyle Pitts, the tight end. So that'll be interesting to see, or they could move back for an offensive lineman. After that, you've got number 5, with Cincinnati, another intriguing team, because for so long we heard it was Penei Sewell, the Oregon offensive tackle, but now I'm hearing more and more about Ja'Marr Chase. And just remember, coming out of LSU 2019, yes, he opted out this last season, but in 2019, Burrow and Chase were a magical combination. Chase had SEC single season records in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. And then finally, you've got Miami sitting there hoping that Atlanta takes a quarterback and that Sewell goes 5 to Cincinnati, because they want Kyle Pitts. But if it's not Pitts, then it's Ja'Marr Chase. And if it's not Chase, then it's going to be one of the two Alabama wide receivers being reunited with Tua Tagovailoa, Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, Todd, so important that Miami in the trade was able to get all the way back up to 6 so they can get one of those weapons that they wanted. And the Falcons, to your point, right, may be the most interesting team entering the draft, as they have multiple options what they can do with that fourth overall pick. Look at this. ESPN's draft predictor gives Florida's Kyle Pitts the best chance to be selected there, but clearly Atlanta's options remain open. Mac Jones, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Penei Sewell all have at least a 7% chance to be the fourth overall pick, as you see there. All right, more on that in a moment. But Adam, when you think about what could happen with Atlanta, Julio Jones is a big piece of the conversation. What's going on with Atlanta and their star receiver?
Well, as Peter King reported this morning, Laura, they have listened to teams make calls about Julio Jones. The issue is that the contract is so prohibitive that if they were to make a deal, they could not make that deal until June 1st and beyond, because that's when the deal would have to be consummated. And so if you're making the trade now, you'd have to include draft pick compensation for 2022. But there have been calls made about Julio Jones. There will be more calls that'll be made about Julio Jones. And maybe that's one of the reasons it feels like at this point in time the Falcons have come off some of the quarterback talk and gone more to a weapon talk, because maybe they need another weapon, because one of their other weapons in Julio Jones might not be there for the start of the 2021 season.
Yeah, it all depends on how they think they factor into that division, what they think they can make happen. And Dan, you just heard what Adam said there. What should the goal be for the Falcons draft at number 4?
Well, I mean, first of all, if they're trading Julio Jones, take a quarterback. Okay, just take him, because you've told us everything that you think about your football team. If you're trading Julio Jones, take the quarterback, start the rebuild. Okay, number 2, your goal, if you're not trading Julio, your goal should get everybody in the NFL thinking you absolutely love these quarterbacks. Absolutely in love with them. Can't leave the draft without one of them. Because the reality is this, at 4, you're either going to draft one of them or you're going to fleece somebody. Okay, you're going to get somebody to be so desperate to move up to 4 that you're going to get a bunch of picks. My last point would be this, because I continue to try and look at the history of these general managers. Terry Fontenot, their new general manager, came from New Orleans. I think during his time there, they drafted a first-round receiver twice. Brandon Cooks, and I'm putting Kyle Pitts in that pass-catching threat receiver type of thought process.
He should
be. Robert Meacham and Brandon Cooks. You think he's got a good feeling about drafting skill position players early? They drafted a ton of offensive linemen that have panned together. Comes from an organization that built by the offensive line that was really good. I don't see him taking a pass catcher. I see him trying to trade out of that pick.
Wow.
Well, I think it comes down to whether or not Atlanta loves either of the two quarterbacks that are left at four, because if they do really like one of them, and this is really hard for me to say because you guys know I am a Matt Ryan defender.
Yes.
To the core. But that said, they should take the quarterback. And it's largely because, frankly, even though I think the Falcons are going to be better next year with better coaching and better luck, and I think Matt Ryan will have a better season, they're still not going to win the division. They're still not going to be one of the better teams in the NFL, maybe not the following year either, because their defense is so bad. So realistically, the following year, you're going to be picking in a worse spot. You're not going to be in this position again to take one of these quarterbacks. If you like one of them, to me, this is your best chance to get the quarterback of the future in Atlanta, and you got to be realistic about your prospects in the present tense, which just aren't very good.
I'm fighting two devils on this conversation, y'all, because one, I like Dan's point about if you're trading Julio, you're rebuilding and you're restarting. But also, yeah, you could caveat that with saying if you're trading Julio, you want to replace that production with Kyle Pitts, who we all think is generational. That's another thought process. And then the other side of it is Matt Ryan in the plan for Arthur Blank, the owner, and Arthur Smith, the head coach, beyond this year and next year? Because if that's the case, you take Kyle Pitts. You take the best player on the board. If that's not the case, I'm with Mina. Take the QB and sit him. And allow Matt Ryan, based on the money that you still owe him and what you're paying him, to not only usher in a new quarterback, but allow yourself to have an opportunity to win while you're going through that process. It's a conundrum for Atlanta. It could be good, it could be bad, but the bottom line is this. It's all about how Arthur Blank looks at where his team is right now and his feel for what Matt Ryan is going to mean to the Atlanta Falcons, and through those conversations with new head coach Arthur Smith. A lot of underlying factors are going to be in this decision, but the bottom line is if you plan on Matt being there, you take Kyle Pitts.
Look, I don't think it's any secret that Arthur Blank is the owner of the Falcons and likely wants to know who they're taking. But I do think there's a misconception out there, and that it's that Arthur Blank is making this pick. Look, Arthur Smith, it wasn't just Atlanta or bust for him. There were seven different job openings. He was the belle of the ball this entire deal. He wouldn't have taken that job if he had the fourth overall pick and was being told, well, the owner's going to make the pick. The owner who's already been in the league for 20 years, and don't worry, we're going to do that for you. I feel like it's going to be an Arthur Smith, Terry Fontenot pick. And I look at what Tennessee did last year with two tight ends, a lot lesser quality, Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser, and they found great offense with those guys. I think Hayden Hurst and Kyle Pitts is going to be a very tough thing to defend, whether Julio's there or not. Calvin Ridley is. I don't see the quarterback at four because it's likely going to be either the second or third or even fourth quarterback on their board. I go best non-quarterback in this draft, and that is Kyle Pitts by a landslide.
Man, you know, the thing is, like, the more that you hear different sides of this, the more you realize that it may not be the best thing in the world for the Falcons to have the fourth overall pick in this draft. It is such a conundrum.
All right,
Peter Schrager, thanks so much for joining us. Of course, you can catch all of his coverage with NFL Network on the draft. That, of course, starts Thursday, just like ours does here on ESPN and ABC.
Please.
Thanks so much, Schrager.
Later, Schrager.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back here on NFL Live, and this is new on NFL Live, Rob Demosky, our Packers reporter, is saying that GM for the Packers, Brian Gutekunst, said they're working through things with Aaron Rodgers and his contract, but he reiterated that Aaron's our guy. He's going to be the quarterback for the foreseeable future and excited for the next couple years. So a contract negotiation, an extension negotiation that seemingly was at a standstill may have some movement. Adam Schefter, what more can you add?
Well, it's an interesting situation, an interesting quote from Brian Gutekunst, the Packers general manager, because there's been a lot of discussion, much of it emanating from Aaron Rodgers himself, about his future in Green Bay. And the Packers general manager comes out and says that, yet 1 year ago, they were the ones that not only drafted a quarterback, but traded up to draft a quarterback. And that quarterback is still a long ways away from being ready. And Aaron Rodgers is coming off an MVP year. And so I think most people on the outside and the public will look at this and say, well, of course Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback. But I think that doesn't take into consideration everything that's gone on between the two sides. And I think there have been a lot of discussions this offseason about his future there. But the Packers GM believes that he will be there for at least a couple of years.
So I'm just trying to think back to my English major days and close read that quote a little bit, because he said somebody's excited about Rodgers being there, but he didn't say if it was the team or Rodgers. It was like left in the passive voice. And I think that's actually a really interesting question, because, it kind of goes both ways, right? Like, and that excitement would be conveyed, one would think, by a restructuring of the contract, pushing out money, keeping Aaron Rodgers in town longer, using that money to acquire weapons for Aaron Rodgers. And we've been asking all offseason, why isn't that happening? Why did the Packers not clear up some cap space? Because they're a team that should be competing right now for a Super Bowl. And I don't think we had an answer as to whether or not it was Green Bay or Aaron Rodgers that had reluctance to do that. And frankly, based on that quote, I still don't think we have an answer. Until there's a restructuring done, I am not convinced that either of these sides is, quote unquote, excited about a long-term situation.
I have two things. No duh. And then what does this mean for Jordan Love? I mean, he's just gonna ride bench for 4 years? And you know, you're gonna exercise his fifth-year option when he never plays? No duh, you want him on your team. Foreseeable future is as far as you can predict. So we'll see if he puts pen to paper.
Marcus, you've been the one that has said all along that you didn't think Aaron Rodgers was going to want to continue his career, or at least finish his career in Green Bay. Now that you hear this, does it change your mind at all?
Y'all, we don't have to read into this, okay? I love y'all to death. Y'all know y'all my family. I ain't getting on this damn roller coaster. I don't care what Gutekunst said. This is about what Aaron Rodgers want to do. Aaron Rodgers has earned all of the things to have control of his future. So anybody talking about synergy or kumbaya with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, if it ain't Aaron Rodgers, I don't give a damn what they talking about. So if Aaron Rodgers come out and say, we working through this, I'm going to be in Green Bay for the next for the foreseeable future or the next 2 years, then I'll have a conversation with you guys about it. But until then, I don't give a damn. Aaron Rodgers is one of the rare players in the NFL that can determine his absolute future, depending on what he wants to do, because he's earned that. He has enough money, and he can say, I'm going to go sit on my sofa until you guys figure out how to trade me to the team I want to be at. So until he says something, I don't give a damn what everybody reporting and talking about.
Yeah, I mean, we keep trying to put Marcus on this roller coaster with us, and he just won't get on. So, you know, the reality is a lot of times you can't get on the roller coaster if you're, like,
Tom
too short for
Brady.
It. Tom Brady affected a lot of this. Marcus is not too short for the roller coaster, just in case you were wondering.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you in Cleveland. Remember, that's 3 p.m. on Thursday and Friday to find us. And the most interesting pick in the draft, at least right now, it seems to be the third overall pick with the 49ers. You see it on the screen. They're still undecided about that pick. Here's Kyle Shanahan from just a little while ago and exactly what their thought process is like.
We decided we needed a starting quarterback. So we traded 2 ones to get a starting quarterback. Hopefully we end up picking the best one. But I know we're going to get a starting quarterback with that. And that's a smart move to me, and not necessarily a smart move. It's the move that you have to do, and that's how much it costs to do these type of things. Or you just sit there and wait and keep your fingers crossed and hope things work out. And that's something that we didn't want to do this year.
Adam, he keeps saying starting quarterback. What more can you add on the 49ers process with this third overall pick?
Well, they asked him about the idea whether he could guarantee that Jimmy Garoppolo would be on the roster Sunday, and he said, I can't guarantee that anybody will be alive on Sunday, which
morbid.
Certainly seemed a little non-committal. So that obviously leads to questions about Jimmy Garoppolo in light of the questions that they're already being asked about what the 49ers are going to do at number three with that third selection. And I don't care what anybody says. In talking with various people throughout their organization, I think they've gone back and forth on that decision. I think they're a little bit all over the map right now. And I think they initially traded up with the idea that they were entirely comfortable taking Mac Jones at number three, but they also had another 4, 5, 6 weeks to evaluate the other quarterback prospects and do a deep dive on them. It's exactly what they've done during this time. And I think during that time, the gap has narrowed and they like what they've seen from these other quarterbacks. And they're confident in any one of them that they could choose at this point in time. And so I know people say, yeah, you trade up knowing who you're going to take. No, they traded up with the idea of who they were comfortable taking, knowing that there was a lot of work ahead. They've gone through that work. And I firmly believe that at this point in time, they are undecided about who they would take. Although Kyle Shanahan expanded on that today, and he said he likes all the quarterbacks, and they're going to be comfortable with whoever they take at number three.
Yeah, Adam, it speaks to the talent in this quarterback class. I think we're still going to always look back to this class and maybe circle it as one of the best. Also, for what it's worth, I don't care what anybody else says except you. So maybe everyone else should be in that camp as well. All right, let's get to some draft buzz. Todd McShay has been talking to all sorts of GMs just 3 days away from the draft, and he's got all the latest here. We begin with the Lions, Todd, and what you're hearing about what they may do.
Yeah, Laura, I think they want to trade back. They realize that they have to rebuild this roster, and if they trade back, maybe get a player like Rashawn Slater at the offensive tackle position out of Northwestern. If they're stuck there at 7, it's probably going to be one of the wide receivers. They would love it to be Penei Sewell, the tackle from Oregon, but it most likely Jamar Chase is going to be off the board from LSU, so it's one of the Alabama receivers. Then at the next pick at number 8, the biggest shock of this weekend talking to GMs was a couple of them said they are hearing a lot of noise about Justin Fields going to Carolina after they already traded for Sam Darnold. Darnold only $5 million on his contract in terms of a cap hit, 2-year contract, so maybe they bring in a quarterback. If not, and maybe it's just smoke and they want to move back and they know the Broncos are sitting there at number 9, and maybe a team like New England at 15 or Washington or Chicago will trade up to go get that quarterback. And I think the Broncos are the most interesting team because they're on information lockdown right now. I think that they would love to trade back and get a linebacker like Micah Parsons or Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame. But the quarterback question has to be answered. Are they going to be sitting there at number 9 and a quarterback falls into their lap? Do they take that guy and let him compete with Drew Lock?
Yeah, you got to think, if Justin Fields were to fall all the way down to number 9, that would be a good pick for them. Dan, let's go back to that number 7 overall position. A lot could happen there with the Lions, but do you agree with Todd that they should take a pass catcher?
Don't do it.
Nope.
Don't
Why?
Do it. No. Someone on our set, Shefty, Mel Kiper, Todd, someone tell me the organization in the NFL in its history that has built itself a consistent winner on skill position players in the draft early. Mm. It's never been done. It doesn't happen in football, okay? I've lived it with Detroit. I know the fans of Detroit have lived it. I've been on the team when it's like, let's take another receiver early when we don't have the pieces in place to allow those receivers to play. The Detroit Lions have to be disciplined. Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, don't do what your predecessors have made the mistake of doing, and that's taking these skill guys and going, we need a guy for our quarterback to throw to. No, you don't right now. You're not a good football team. Build from the line of scrimmage. If Penei Sewell falls to you, you should be sitting there going, my goodness, we got a tackle that's going to play for 10 years. Vera Tucker might be really good as a guard. I know you've got some pieces. But you as an organization, I've watched you make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake taking pass catchers. Do not get caught up in the shiny, sexy object. Do this the right way for the first time in Detroit in 30 years. Take a big.
Ooh.
Laura, I might need you to reach across and hold on to Orlovsky to keep him from jumping out of his seat when I say this.
Sorry.
Okay, well, just be prepared. I don't understand why more people aren't talking about Detroit taking a quarterback. Now,
love it.
As far as money goes, first of all, Dan, you're talking about taking a tackle. They just gave Taylor Decker $60 million, and he's actually one of the few pieces on their team you can rebuild around. Jared Goff, yes, it would cost money to move on from him, $20 million after next June. But the Rams just paid you to take Jared Goff. That shouldn't affect your decision-making when you're thinking, how do we rebuild our bad football team? I understand if you don't like the quarterbacks who are available, but from my perspective, if Justin Fields falls to him at 7, they should take him. Like, we're talking about Atlanta moving on from Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is better than Jared Goff. I don't understand why we aren't having the same discussion about Detroit.
I'm with Mina Kimes.
Oh, gosh.
I'm with Mina Kimes on this one. I'm in with Mina Kimes on this one because it makes sense, right? Like, Dan Campbell, new head coach, Anthony Lynn, new OC. And I understand, Dan. Like, I love the fact that you're so line of scrimmage driven. I really respect
that. What's going on with that? Oh, my goodness.
Them are nice.
He's hiding his tears.
Yes.
I did not.
But
I did not approve this.
That's beautiful, Dad. I love, bro. That's why I love you, bro. I love that about you.
So weird.
But anyway, back to what Mina was saying. I don't disagree with it because I feel like foundationally, when you build your team with a quarterback, you can start there. Like, I understand what everybody is saying about they just got Jared Goff. I think that was a part of the trade more so than a guy that we actually wanted. Or we would have targeted. So it's a different mindset for the Detroit Lions. And I think they could be thinking in that same vein as Mina expressed about a quarterback. Jared Goff wouldn't have been their first option to bring in as a quarterback.
Don't make this mistake, Detroit.
Okay, you know, the one thing I'd like to comment on with Dan's glasses is that, well, he should wear them forever, but also, as someone who has bigger ears myself, I can say this. They balance out your ears, Dan. It's like a nice component on your face. It just balances out the ears. Dan's bringing these to Cleveland, by the way. We'll see you there on Wednesday.
Thank you, Dan.